Well, if you're not in 2 Timothy, I would ask you to turn there as we're looking in chapter 2, where we left off last week, starting in verse 3 there. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter as he was wrongly imprisoned for preaching the gospel, we've seen, awaiting execution, though he's lonely in this Roman infamous maritime prison, more than likely. He writes to encourage his young protege, Timothy, who is serving at a later time in his ministry at the church of Ephesus. He's dealing with false teachers and discouragement in ministry. And 2 Timothy shows us some great truths that are not just for pastors and elders, they are for that, but also for all of us as Christians, especially in the area of our mission and ministry, our service for the Lord, persevering for the Lord, the torch of the gospel being passed off to the next generation as we serve the Lord. The mission of guarding the gospel, we've seen in this letter, and preaching it, is not easy in this world. But just as it was true with Timothy, God has given us what we need, the resources. A sincere faith, we've talked about, spiritual gifts, of course, His Holy Spirit living in us to give us power and love and a sound mind that we can serve Him faithfully wherever God has each one of us. And we know, as Paul reminded Timothy, God will bless us and protect us to the end. He said, I'm convinced what I've entrusted to the Lord, He'll protect it to the very end as I serve Him. And we saw last Sunday that we're to guard this gospel. We don't do that by hiding it in a security system, but by not allowing it to be changed, holding fast to the true gospel, by applying it then, by admiring what it looks like in real life and relationships, by admitting our need for grace, by assigning responsibility to the next generation of Christians. That's what we looked at last week. And Paul tells us on this basis, the solid foundation of our faith, we're to grow in Christ, to not be ashamed of Him, to become all He saved us to be in Jesus Christ, to live the true Christian life, even in this evil world, so that the gospel can make an impact through each one of us, wherever God has us, in the church and in the community. And so what we see today are some key truths about becoming all Jesus Christ has saved us to be in the gospel, and what the real Christian life and Christian living is all about. Because the fact is, there's a lot of confusion out there today about what the Christian life is all about. Wouldn't you agree? There's TV preachers telling us that God wants you to be happy in everything, and be successful, and have all that you want. And the Christian life is basically there to make everything great for you. You come to God and He gives you all the things you need, you know? Like a grandpa in the sky, you know? He meets all your needs. And if He doesn't, well, there's something wrong. That's the whole health and wealth gospel that's out there. You know, that God wants you healthy and have all the wealth you need. And if you don't, well, what's the problem? And a lot of people go to churches looking for this idea of Christianity, this false bill of goods. You know, that the church is there to meet my needs. And does it do everything that I want? And does it meet all the boxes, check all the boxes, you know? And then I'll be happy, you know? And they forget that the Christian life is not about them. It's about Jesus, who saved them by grace and called them to follow Him and give their lives in service to Him. Now, so what we see are some key principles about living the Christian life here as it's meant to be in reality. In an evil, sinful, difficult world, in the way God calls us to, and what motivates us to serve and sacrifice and give our lives. What are the core components of genuine Christian living that really makes an impact? Well, Paul shows Timothy here and shows us. This is the only way you can really live the Christian life and really make an impact and really become all God saves you to be is I think, in what we see here is a big part of it, so that God can use us. And God gives us a mindset. He gives us meditation in a Christian sense. He gives us the ultimate memory we need and what we need to remember. He calls us to resolve. He calls us to reflect. And He calls us to remember Jesus Christ. We're going to look at those. He wants us to develop discipline, discernment in God's will, and also dependence upon God's power. as we remember Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to see here. And as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we also see some essential truths about why we come to the Lord's table, why we come to Christ and grow through grace and communion. So the first key here in verses 3 to 6, if you're writing notes, is discipline yourself for godliness. You want to live the true Christian life, the genuine Christian life? You got to have resolve. You need a certain mindset, Paul tells Timothy in verses 3 to 6. That's the first key component to effective Christian living. Paul tells Timothy, here's the mindset we need. Because Paul wants us to realize, and God does through Paul, we're saved by grace through faith alone, yes. But the Christian life is not meant to be a walk in the park, a cakewalk. It's more like a war that we've been engaged into through our commander Jesus. It's like the old story of the believer who was bragging to the pastor. He didn't have any problems, you know, the devil never bothers me. And the pastor replied, well, two people going in the same direction seldom bump into each other. You come to know Christ and you start following him, and it doesn't make things easier a lot of times, it makes it harder. Unfortunately, you mentioned the word discipline, and Christians suddenly start to think sometimes, oh no, don't say that. That means legalism. You're trying to put me under bondage, you know, and so I can't be free in Christ. And they miss the whole point of what we're talking about when we say Christian discipline. The reality is there's no true Christian success and growth without true Christian discipline. The old saying is true in the Christian life, if there's no pain, there's no gain. And that's true in the way that things work in this world. That's why Paul uses the three pictures of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Because these people in these professions all know there's no victory, there's no crown for the athlete, and there's no crop for the farmer without a strategy that incorporates struggle along to the goal, along the way. And that's what all three of these know. And I believe ultimately Paul is making a point spiritually, one main point in all three of these images. But he's making distinctive points about this main point with the different analogies. First of all, the soldier, Christian soldier, shows us the need to focus our Christian life on the right thing, or ultimately the right one, our commanding officer. The need for dedication and loyalty and commitment to our commander-in-chief who called us and saved us, Jesus Christ. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This was a favorite analogy of Paul, wasn't it? Because he uses it in Ephesians 6 with the armor of God and other places talking about the warfare we're in. And Paul must have had lots of opportunity to be around Roman soldiers because he was in prison for the gospel on two occasions. And he must have thought about the way a soldier lived, the preparation that a soldier had for battle, and his whole mindset that he then took and applied over into the area of our spiritual life and being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why is this so important for us as Christians? Because we've got to have the right mindset to be effective in the Christian life and ministry. It doesn't matter if you're an elder or not or a pastor. Timothy was a pastor. It's always true for us as Christians. You know, we can want things to be easy, you know. You know, I read somebody who said, well, we wish we could be like the guy on drive-in and diners, you know, who just goes around and eats food for a living. But this is not our life, is it? As Christians, we're called to serve the Lord, and it's not easy at times, but we have to have that mindset of a soldier, of expectation, of focus on what we are in ministry. Somebody said, distracted soldiers are dead soldiers. And that's true spiritually for us. We might not die physically, but we won't be very effective if we lose our focus, will we, in Jesus Christ. The good soldier of Christ knows they're fighting a good fight of the gospel in service and ministry for Jesus, and there's going to be difficulties. Apparently in World War II, it was said that people would frequently say to each other, being reminded of the time they were in, there's a war on. Do we live with that mindset knowing spiritually in this life There's a war. If you're a Christian trying to live differently, aiming to please the Lord and share the gospel and live differently because of Christ and be out there ministering to people, you're going to face rejection and persecution in some way, in some form, sooner or later. You're going to be hurt. When you're in the middle of the battle, you're going to be where the bullets are flying. And we have to keep our helmets on. He's telling Timothy, don't run, stay in the battle, keep focused on Christ, know who you are. Ray Stedman said, we've got to be willing to march in the thick of the battle where bullets fly, where our friends are falling and dying, willing to take the gospel into the prisons, into the mean streets of our cities, he said, where people are hurting, where they have great need. We have to remember our calling as soldiers to live the true Christian life. It said that Charles Spurgeon once prayed this for his congregation. He said, resolve that to life's last breath you'll spend and be spent for his praise. He prayed, Lord, grant that there may be many in this church that are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ as you follow him, trusting in him? Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles him. Here's how the resolve is focused. You see this? Here's what a soldier has to do. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, this doesn't mean for us as Christians we can't enjoy life. Don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean we hide ourselves in a bubble, you know, and can't have any connection with things in this world. It doesn't mean we don't have jobs. My goodness, no. Paul was a tent maker by trade, but that wasn't his focus. It was the gospel. It doesn't mean that we don't have involvement in this world, but what did Jesus say? He said, you're to be in the world, but not of it. What it means is that we can't get entangled with, like a civilian in the affairs of this world. A soldier on active service is focused on what a soldier is meant to do. Hebrews 12 says that we're in a Christian race and we're to lay aside the sin and the things that easily entangle us. What's entangling you? The point is, even good things can be distractions from our focus on Christ and growing to become who he saved us to be. Wouldn't you agree with that? Even some of the good things. Like, we have to be careful that we're not entangled in those things, that our focus is right. That's the point. That's the point. The image of the soldier tells us, yes, a soldier has to rest, but when he's in active service, he has the reality and awareness of the fact of wars going on around him, and he's not going to get caught up in civilian affairs and things that are going to distract him from the preparation and focus he needs because he's in the battle. And his ultimate goal is to please his superior commander. That's the image of the soldier for us as Christians. You know, I read this about lion tamers because I've never actually done this. You know, I'm not that crazy, but you know, they'll turn that stool upside down and use the four parts of the stool, the legs, to paralyze the lion because the lion can't apparently focus on all four things at one time, and so he gets weakened and paralyzed by a lack of focus, disabled at least momentarily, and that's why they do it. Sometimes the devil does that to us. What did Paul say? He said, this one thing I do, pressing toward the goal of the prize that God has called me heavenward. And folks, this doesn't mean we don't work, we don't play, we don't do things that are in this world, but that in everything we do, we keep our focus on honoring Jesus Christ and representing his gospel and pleasing him first. Somebody said, Christianity is not a way of doing special things. It's a special way of doing everything. And that's true. Whatever we do is to honor Christ, right? We got to examine our lives, though, don't we, at times? This is what this text says. To say, okay, am I really seeking to live for the Lord with the focus of a soldier? To please my commanding officer, Jesus Christ? What could be distracting you and I right now that might be an okay thing, but it's pulling us away from really following him as our commander? He's the one that saved us by his grace on the cross. He's the one that called us. What's distracting us from pleasing him in everything? And they can be good things, but what's pulling us away from our ultimate goal of preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, serving Him, and eternal things. Our chief aim is to please the one who called us to the good fight of faith, and we're not going to be able to serve Him, as I said earlier in the offering, with divided loyalties. We can't ultimately serve God and our job, God and our spouse, God and our relationships, God and our hobby. We may have those things, yes, but what's central? Where's the focus? We can get focused on the wrong things. What about the athlete? Shows us not only the right focus, but how to live the Christian life along the way effectively. Verse 5, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And some of you have been athletes in some way. You are now. You can understand this and see, having laid a general principle about a mindset of single-minded devotion in the soldier who wants to please his officer, Paul says with that devotion, there's got to be a discipline along the way, like an athlete who, an athlete knows he's got to have training and rules. There's not shortcuts in athletics to get to where you really want to be. Wouldn't you agree with that? You got to follow the rules in preparation and discipline and work and what you eat and what you don't and how much you train. And then when you get in the competition, there's rules. That single-minded devotion helps us as Christians spiritually to keep our focus when it's easy sometimes to be pulled aside and discouraged and distracted, and we know our goal and we know what it takes to get there as we follow Christ. The fact was, competitors in the Greek games, they had to be born Greek. This is what Paul's referring to in context here. They had to train for 10 months in preparation and swear to Zeus that it was true. And most commentators think this is what Paul's in context using as an analogy, according to the rules. He's saying for a Christian, we win in the sense of not being saved, because we're saved by grace. But we win in the sense of living the Christian life well, becoming all Christ called us and saved us to be. We only do it and make an impact as we follow things the way God has designed them. As we look to His Word, and we don't seek to go our own way with it, we hold fast to it and we seek to apply it. And we don't think God's going to bless us in our life when we're not willing to live by His Word. According to the rules. We're not following rules to get saved. But we've been saved by grace. We love God. We want to please Him. We want to live the life He's called and saved us to live in. And we're not going to be able to do it if we're not going by His Word. If that's not our desire, we're not going to be perfect in it, are we? But we're called to walk in that way. And just like an athlete, knowing in sports there is discipline that takes place. You know, we know as a Christian, we got to be able to get up and read our Bible. We don't feel like it. We got to pray. We need to come to church. We need to ask God to help us get in His Word. An athlete is not going to be able to get to where he needs to without the regimen, without the discipline. I mean, a lot of people love to watch sports, don't they? But how many really want to do the things that a sportsman has to do to get to that place? That's why there aren't that many of them. And Paul's talking here about spirituality. I mean, how many of us have seen cricket players who don't want to go by the rules? We won't even go there. Lance Armstrong, who later admitted he cheated the cyclist. Tons of American and other sportsmen using steroids and sports-enhancing drugs. All these things, it never works, does it? Because that's not right. If he's going to get the crown, he's got to go by the rules. And he can't miss training, and he's got to be careful. She's got to eat the right things if she wants to be excellent. She can't budge. She can't take the short way, or he can't. And Paul's saying this is true for us in the spiritual race that we're in and what we're called to do. What about the Christian farmer? Well, a soldier shows us the need for dedication. Focus on the commanding officer. And the athlete, discipline. Well, why farmer? Because he shows us specifically diligence over a long period of time, plotting and plowing and monitoring. Farming's not like a clock in, clock out thing, is it? It's every day, all through the day. And it takes patience. You know, and athletes, you know, obviously got to discipline themselves, but a lot of times they get the applause of fans.
and they could even live for those kind of things. But a farmer, he never calls a press conference when it's time to bale the hay. He's got to keep doing it, and there's patience, and there's not a lot of, you know, people seeing what's going on. And I think this is Paul's point here, spiritually. You know, similar to us with Christians, the ministry's not easy sometimes. And I'm not just talking about what I do, but all of us are called to minister. And when we're trying to serve and preach the gospel and love people and care for people, and we do it over a period of time and it seems like it's not making an impact, and we wonder why we're doing it. And there's that patience and time and attention to it and a love for it, like a farmer, that's got to be there because we know what it's about, because there's reward. And we, like farmers, we get to, in the Christian life, we get to taste a little bit of that award, a reward, that other people have no clue what it's about. We get to see people's lives changed, even though it's frustrating at times. But when we see that person get saved, that person, their life has changed, their marriage is reconciled, this is what we have to remember. The hardworking farmer is the first to partake in the crops. This is what we've got to remember. It takes diligence and focus and work over a period of time. Because a soldier shows us the right thing to do in ministry, the focus of pleasing Jesus Christ, our commander. The athlete shows us how to do the right thing in the right way, with discipline and training and the following God's word. And a farmer shows us we do the right thing in the right way, and we got to work at it. It's not easy, but God says, don't grow weary in doing good. I'll bless you in time. I'll help you and use you for my glory. As somebody said, salvation is a free gift, but it's never a free ride. And there, this is, we want reality of what the Christian life is about. Paul's giving us that. We got to remember, to grow in our faith, it takes work. You got to spend time studying the Bible and learning and getting around other Christians so you can start to see things from God's perspective, so you can live out the Christian life. And then you need to do it over a period of time. And it's not easy, but God gives us the grace to do it. But we've got to have a reality check. It's what Paul says first. Second thing here, not only discipline, but discernment. Discern God's specific will for you based on His Word. If you want a key component of a Christian life that's genuine, we got to reflect, we got to meditate. Consider all things, or verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The first key component, discipline, is true. Out of that comes discernment in context, reflection on what God is saying to us. Remember, Paul has just told Timothy, join with me like a good soldier in the good fight. He's given him these images of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And the point in context is as Timothy considered carefully what God said through Paul and reflected and chewed on God's word, he would start to better understand with insight what it meant for his life. But he had to reflect on it. He had to meditate. He had to chew on it, on what God was saying. And God would then give him insight to know how to fight this fight, how he would win in the Christian life as he followed Christ, as a soldier, an athlete, like a spiritual farmer. The word literally means ponder seriously, consider, chew on it. We meditate, we take a bit of God's word, and we think on it. It's good to read through the whole Bible, don't get me wrong. It's also good to just take bits of the word and think on it and pray over it and mull over it and say, God, how do you want me to live this out? I think that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. The context is the only way. In context, the point is the only way we as Christians or Timothy have the ability to live the Christian life the way we're meant to is as the Lord gives us understanding and insight, as He gives us wisdom. That's the only way to be a strong soldier, a disciplined athlete, a diligent farmer, is it's by God's grace. We need insight to see what God calls us to do specifically in our lives according to His will. We need to see what it looks like and understand it. And this is why Paul seems to pray for Timothy. May the Lord give you understanding. But he also calls him to meditate, to reflect on what I've told you. This is not ultimately Paul's words about a farmer and an athlete and soldier. This is God's word. He says, think on it. That's why God gives him the images, so he'll reflect on it. And a lot of times there are Christians, you know, they'll
They'll talk about, oh yeah, God will help me to know what I need to do, but there's no serious study in God's Word. Are you one of those? Or you might be one of the ones who's really good at studying the Word of God all the time, and you got all the commentaries and books and everything, but you got to remember, it's the Lord that gives you understanding. There's a balance here of reflecting and depending on God and Him giving us discernment and insight and all we need to do. The Word of God will give us insight into what we're struggling with as we get into it and we chew on it and consider it. Whatever you're going through, the word literally means here, consider the idea of a puzzle coming together with the different pieces merging together. The Lord does this in our lives. We won't always understand everything, obviously, about what we're going through, but He'll help us have perspective. He'll give us insight. He'll help us to be strong in the grace that's in Jesus. And we need to remember that as we turn to His Word. And the third thing, as we close and as we come to the Lord's Supper, that applies well there, verses 8 to 9. Depend on Christ's power personally. And here is the idea of remembering, of memory. The third key component of Christian living to really make an impact for Jesus involves discipline and resolve, discernment and reflection, but also dependence and remembering. Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is never chained. Paul knew the importance of a mindset and meditation, but also memory. Why does Paul call Timothy to remember Jesus Christ? How can you forget Him? You say, you don't know humanity that well or yourself that well, do you? Because we can at times, can't we? The point is, this word to remember Jesus is a continual remembering. Keep remembering. Let Him be central in all your thinking, because Jesus Christ, risen from death, is the center of this gospel. So don't forget Him. You're in these trials, Timothy. Keep your attention on Jesus Christ. Never forget Him. See, these two areas of Jesus Christ risen, living victorious over sin, and Jesus descended from David, becoming a man, and now on the throne as the king, they incorporate all of the gospel. Everything that we remember when we come to this table here today of assurance of salvation and forgiveness of sins, it's all incorporated in this idea here. This is the gospel in a nutshell. This summarizes the whole plan, how Jesus came from David, humanly speaking, was a human, went to the cross, paid for sin, rose from death, fulfills all the Old Testament looked forward to. And because of that, we have salvation, assurance, victory over our sin. Every time we come to the Lord's table, we remember Him, don't we? Jesus said, what? Do this in remembrance of me. You eat the bread today if you're a Christian. That stands for Him as the bread of life, of course. His body broken for us on the cross, giving His life. We drink of the juice. It stands, of course, we know, for His shed blood. He's forgiven us of our sins if we're in Christ through His ultimate sacrifice. And we do it looking back. Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. He gave us communion because He doesn't want us to forget. He wants us to depend on His power that's in us, because He's the living Savior who has done all of this work and accomplished it and fulfilled everything. That's the point. Remember, throughout the history of the Old Testament, the Jews, just like us, had good forgetter's disease, I've heard somebody say before. You know, they forgot God, they forgot Him. And He gave them things like the Passover to remind them that He passed over them in Egypt when the people, the Egyptians, died, the firstborn. He gave them the stones in the Jordan, remember, put up as a memorial to remember what God had done. Because we forget. And Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper for this reason. So that we'll keep who Jesus Christ is and what He's done through the cross and the resurrection central in our church, our marriages, our Christian living, our choices. We'll never forget, because it's easy sometimes to lose sight of what salvation really means in our lives, folks. Especially when we're in trials like Timothy and we're discouraged and we're in an evil world with so many distractions and deception. And so this was, he says, this is what you need to remember. Jesus Christ risen. Jesus Christ descended from David, my gospel. This is the gospel, Paul tells Timothy. Remember the wonder of it all, of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, remembering Jesus means keeping his person and work central. He's fully God, risen from the dead, fully human, understanding our problems, descended from David. He died in it from our sins, rose over death. He sits at the Father's right hand. Folks, one thing this reminds us of is the message we're to preach. But as one man said, John Stott, it also reminds us that in Jesus' life and experience, we see the pathway to glory is through suffering. The pathway to life and eternal life is through death. He's saying, remember him, the one who died is risen, the one who descended as a human being in the lowliness of David's seed is now reigning on the throne of David. This is the reality. Remember the full picture of what the gospel is all about, how he's fulfilled everything, that he's a living Savior that we worship today. Yes, he became a human. Yes, he died on the cross, but he rose. He's resurrected, and he lives in us, through us. He's overcome sin. He's overcome death, and we trusted him if we're Christians. He became our Savior and our Lord, breaking the power of sin and death in our lives. Never forget who we worship, this living Savior, and that is the good news that we hold on to. You know, when we're struggling in temptation, this is what we need to remember, one thing of an application here. Yes, we resist temptation, but we don't fear it because our Savior is sovereign. As 1 Corinthians 10 says, he'll never give you more than you can endure. He'll provide a way out. He is the sovereign, victorious King. And this is the core memory at the core component of our true Christian living. The only way we can live as soldiers and athletes and spiritual farmers who are diligent and disciplined is through this. And Paul says, this is what I suffer for, this gospel. He had personally experienced it. And he gives an example, doesn't he, of how the gospel is so powerful. He says, I suffer as a trouble, as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. He has the victory over sin and the grave. I love this true story as we close in a moment. Of the 1930s, when Joseph Stalin ordered the purge of Bibles and believers in certain cities in Russia. And thousands of Bibles were confiscated, as well as Christians being killed. But after the fall of communism, there was a missionary group that went in to try to bring Bibles in. And they couldn't get them from Moscow. And so they had found this warehouse where a lot of these stolen Bibles from Stalin's time were stored. And they found a way, God opened the door for them to get these Bibles. And there were some young guys they hired in that weren't Christians to help load all this stuff, load the Bibles. Well, this one particular agnostic uni student at the time, he apparently stole one of the Bibles and slipped away. And they found him in the corner weeping because what he found inside of the Bible shook him to the core. In the inside page of this Bible he picked up and took had the handwritten signature of his own grandmother. It had been her personal Bible. He had taken the Bible that belonged to her, a woman that had been persecuted for her faith through most of her life. Paul says to Timothy, God says to us, the word of God is not chained. So hold fast to it. Depend on his power. As we come to the Lord's table today, we're reminded of what the Christian life is all about, the mindset we need, the meditation and reflection on his truth. But ultimately, the ultimate memory we never forget. We remember Jesus Christ and all the gospel entails. Risen from the grave, descended from David, the fulfillment of all God's promises. And as we look and partake of the bread and juice, we're to remember him and ask God to help us not forget him in our lives as we go out into regular day-to-day affairs. We keep him central. We ask for his grace to do that. We do this in remembrance of him and ask for his strength to spread the word, the gospel that is never chained. Let's pray. Gracious Lord.